Today is July 29th, 2008, and this is the Apple Weekly Report, episode number 130, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor for TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, editor-at-large. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/AWR. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at AWR at macobserver.com. I had to mix things up this week.
You know, and I'm glad you do. Keeps us on our toes.
It does keep us on our toes. And thank you for the forbearance that everyone continues to give us for some reason.
I think everyone just really likes to humor us, and I appreciate that. So thanks, everyone.
Indeed. Now, speaking of humoring, our sponsors from last week are getting kind of a bonus episode this week because we're going to announce the winners of the Smile on My Mac 5th Birthday contest that they did with us.
That's right. We have, five licenses for any of Smile on My Mac's applications to give away.
Yep. And we said last week that we were going to announce the winners this week. However, we're going to do it one better. It's going to be one louder. And
that's right. We're going to 11.
We are going to 11. We're actually going to determine the names live here on the show using my D&D dice.
Just as promised last week.
Sort of. We didn't promise to do it. We just promised to use the dice. We didn't promise to do it live on the show.
That's true.
But I'm actually quite excited about it. As a matter of fact, that's actually put a delay in the show for us because I couldn't find my old set of dice. I'm very embarrassed to say. So I did have to go out and buy a new one. As a matter of fact, if you listen closely, you can hear the spring-loaded cap of the case that my dice came in. Hold on just a second. That's the sound of my dice because they're very cool.
Okay, and just for everyone that's playing along at home, that's not a sound effect. He really did go out and buy new D&D dice. And that's really the container opening.
It really was. You know, I went up to the person that works at the Legends shop at the Cupertino Square Mall, I think is what it's called now. And I said I needed a new set of dice, and she was all apologetic because they didn't have very many in. She said, "I can show you my catalog." I said, no, I got to have them today because what I really need is the sound effect for something I'm doing. And she said, "Oh, well, do you want to look at our individual dice?" I said, no. I want a new set. Don't get me wrong. I want a full set because I need to have them, even if I'm not using them. But I have to have them today in order to get the sound effects. And that was last night, basically.
So. That's absolutely fantastic. And you know what? That is just an amazing level of devotion to the podcast. You went out and bought new dice because you couldn't find your old dice.
Yes, and I didn't want to use a cheesy sound effect.
Right. Well, you know,
we have plenty of room for other cheesy sound effects throughout the show. This one needed to be real.
That's true. I mean, we draw the line somewhere, and it's at faking D&D dice.
I get, yeah. and boy, are we proud of that.
Yeah, I guess we are.
Yeah, or something. Or something. All right. So this is we haven't ever done this before. I'm going to have to move the microphone a little bit, so you may hear a little bit of noise. But you are going to hear the process. And we're, you know, once again, thanks to Smile on My Mac for making all this possible. And talk for a second while I adjust.
All right. So yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Smile on My Mac, for providing us with the software to give out to everyone. And also thank you, Smile on My Mac, for being so tolerant of the way we've decided to conduct this contest.
and thanks to all the D&D nerds who haven't called me on, I don't know, whatever. So, ready to go?
And yeah. Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Winner number one. Lisa Thompson, come on down. Alec Johnson, you two are a winner.
By the way, I love your game show voice.
Thanks. Khalid Al Saud is also a winner. That's winner number three. Michael Vandergrint, one of our, I think he's in the Netherlands, if I remember correctly.
Oh, that's very cool.
And if I didn't pronounce your name correctly, Michael, I apologize. And Edward Bruce Lynn II is our fifth winner.
Excellent.
Boy, I hope that was worth it. I hope that was worth the delay. All for those rolling sounds.
You know, it was totally worth it to me. And isn't that all that really matters?
And it was worth it to me, too. And I actually really like being able to do this in front of people, too, even if it's, you know, not really in front of people. But this is probably how we'll do this from now on, too.
And I'm okay with that, especially now that we have the official AWR D&D dice.
Indeed. So what's going to happen, folks, is before you even hear this, the folks at Smile on My Mac will have gotten your contact information, and they will be contacting you to arrange for the codes, etc. And that's how that works.
Okay, and I'm pretty sure I just heard you put your dice safely away in the nice little spring-loaded container.
It's well known that if you don't put the dice away, that you could probably lose them, especially me. And they're dark dice on dark carpet, which I have. And I really don't think that I want to have to go through the hassle of trying to find them. Thank you.
You know, the whole image I have of that voice with you, Brian, it just... Thank you. Thank you for that image.
Oh, you're welcome, I think. I quite prefer the original AD&D because it was advanced, and that seems to me to be a lot better than the current D&D fourth generation or whatever it's called.
you
It's fourth. I think it's actually
fourth. Look
at that.
I can't even throw out witty comebacks at you.
It's the fourth edition, I think, is what it's actually called. But and don't get me wrong, if anyone thinks I am a true D&D geek, and I was just telling my wife a couple days ago that I'd probably give up playing World of Warcraft if I could actually get into a good D&D group again. To which she immediately started checking the Craigslist listings.
You so have a keeper.
Well, I think, you know, just anything to get me to give up World of Warcraft.
Well, you know, I guess it's all a matter of priorities.
Indeed. All right, I think we've delayed enough. Let's actually get. What's the point of the show? That's right, Apple News, isn't it? Apple News and commentary.
I have absolutely no idea anymore. I think it's really what's going on.
It's a discussion about the whether or not the original Bard class has any place in D&D roles, or whether or not they're overpowered. I happen to think that the properly moderated Bard class is quite acceptable.
You know, I'm pretty sure that you have just single-handedly changed our entire demographic.
I was a hardcore D&D geek. Hardcore. Love the game. All right. Do the news. Okay.
I'll do my best. Apple reported its second best quarter in the company's history. App Store downloads topped 25 million, and there's a mystery product transition coming in the next couple of months. The second iPhone 3G launch is coming in August, and Mobile Me is giving people headaches. And this week, we're introducing a new feature to the show, one that we've cleverly named Ask Jeff, in which Jeff, that's me, answers your Mac and iPhone questions.
And we're going to actually decide the order in which we read the news to you according to the D&D dice. Okay, I'm kidding. Apple announced on July 21st that it had a record June quarter in 2008 with $7.46 billion U.S. in revenue and a profit of $1.07 billion, a number that could make even Dr. Evil sit up and take notice. That comes out to $1.19 per share for those keeping score at home. Analysts have been expecting $1.07 per share in earnings. That's well shy of the $1.19 Apple actually hit, with revenues of $7.36 billion. Apple shipped a record number of Macs during the quarter, reporting sales of 2.496 million units. Million. That's. I think that's actually still a number, though, that Dr. Evil would be impressed with.
Company you did also do the little finger in your the corner of your mouth, right?
Of course. The company also sold more than 11 million iPods, 12% more than during the year-ago quarter, a number that should further quell fears that iPhone will cannibalize iPod sales. Apple also announced that it sold 717,000 iPhones during the quarter, the last quarter the original iPhones were available. Looking forward, Apple offered guidance of $7.8 billion for the September quarter and earnings of, quote-unquote, about a dollar per share. Analysts have been predicting revenue in excess of $8 billion. Despite Apple's record performance, investors have focused on the company's below-expectation guidance for the quarter, which sent the stock tumbling more than 16 points since the earnings announcement.
Apple's retail stores played an important role in the company's record-breaking third quarter, with revenue growing nearly 60% year-over-year. Apple's retail stores sold 476,000 Macs during the quarter, with strong interest in the iMac, MacBook, and MacBook Pro. The company ended the quarter with 216 stores, including its first stores in Australia and China. Apple plans to end its fiscal year with 242 stores and will open locations in Switzerland and Germany sometime during the second half of 2008. Average revenue per store was up 33% at $6.8 million compared to last year's $5.1 million per store. The retail segment margin was also up 61% year-over-year from $184 million up to $297 million. Apple's retail growth isn't limited to its own stores. The company also added its presence to 170 more Best Buy locations during the quarter for a total of about 570 stores, and it plans to grow that to 600 by the end of the summer.
Tim Cook, Apple CEO, added in a comment, by adding that many more Best Buys, that'll be that many more stores that we can pull them out from sometime in the future.
Now that's planning ahead.
Of course, I'm kidding. He didn't actually say anything along those lines, but, you know, just wait. That's all I'm saying. Apple's App Store opened on July 11th, along with the iPhone 3G launch, and third-party application downloads have already topped 25 million. The iTunes-based App Store already has over 900 applications available, and more than 20% of those are free, with another 70% coming in under $10. So it seems that price has apparently been helping to move all this virtual merchandise.
And Apple CFO Peter Oppenheimer let it be known that we should expect something new sometime during the September quarter. Mr. Oppenheimer told analysts during the conference call that a product upgrade, or quote-unquote transition, as he put it, would take place sometime during the next 3 months. That represents a very rare look into Apple's own crystal ball, as the company is famous for not announcing new products until Apple CEO Steve Jobs is ready to do so in full. The issue arose when an analyst asked about Apple's guidance for gross margins during the September quarter, which Apple guided down to 31.5%, down from 34.8% in the year-ago quarter, a drop that had everyone and their brother all worked up. For instance, Ben Reitzes of Lehman Brothers asked Mr. Oppenheimer for more details on why the company was lowering its gross margin guidance. Mr. Oppenheimer explained that Apple was expecting a gross margin hit from a back-to-school special the company would soon be unveiling, as well as a one-time issue with a contract manufacturer that was responsible for some 70 basis points. That would be 0.7% in gross margins. The unexpected bit was when he added, quote, "We've got a future product transition that I can't discuss with you today," unquote. A transition would also reduce total gross margins as the company sees higher costs on any new product rollout. That would mean that one product line or another will be upgraded during the September quarter, though no specific details about what that product is or what the change may be were forthcoming. Apple COO Tim Cook did stress, however, that he expected investments his company was making in future products to leave Apple, quote, far ahead of its competition, unquote.
A host of analysts have, of course, weighed in on Apple's earnings, and many speculated that Apple will, in the midst of a record high sales under its longstanding model of actually making money on computers, be taking a cut in profits in 2009 to fuel growth with lower costs in a weak economy. Analyst Yair Reiner with Oppenheimer may have summed it up best when he said, quote, "The obvious question is, what magnitude of product innovation and revenue upside would propel Apple to sacrifice so much profit? Our guess, something big. While product details and the appropriate growth adjustments will emerge over time, we note that innovation has always been the key to Apple's growth and premium valuation," unquote. The reason for the lower gross margins, according to Bill Fearnley with FTN Midwest, might be a new notebook line priced similarly to Apple's current offerings, but with higher priced components. Other analysts agreed and added, for some reason, that Apple may be trading profits for lower prices in the current weak economy. More on that during the context machine.
Oh, I bet. And despite a report in the New York Post saying that an unspecified quote-unquote many have ongoing concerns about the health of Steve Jobs, Apple COO Tim Cook told analysts during the earnings call that Mr. Jobs isn't going anywhere. In response to an analyst question, Mr. Cook said, quote, "Mr. Jobs serves as the CEO at the pleasure of Apple's board and has no plans to leave Apple. Steve's health is a private matter," unquote. Apple has recently maintained the line that the health of its CEO is a private matter after Mr. Jobs appeared thin during the Worldwide Developers Conference in June. Citing a number of unnamed sources, the Post said that there was still a lot of concern about his health. The only named source the article cited was Andrew Hargraves, an analyst with Pacific Crest Securities, who said that trading in shares of Apple likely reflects these concerns, and then hedged by adding, well, at least partially.
Yeah, strong words. Even after making such a big deal about Mr. Jobs' health being a private matter, Mr. Jobs himself proceeded to then publicly comment on his health. Go figure. Over the weekend, Mr. Jobs phoned New York Times reporter Joe Nocera to tell him that he had been dealing with something more serious than the quote-unquote common bug that Apple had originally acknowledged. But he stressed that he is not suffering from a life-threatening illness. Mr. Jobs didn't seem pleased with the extra focus on his health status and wasn't exactly congenial when he called Mr. Nocera. According to Mr. Nocera, their phone conversation started with Mr. Jobs saying, quote, "You think I'm an arrogant who thinks he's above the law, and I think you're a slime bucket who gets most of his facts wrong," unquote. Well, Steve Jobs always pulling punches. They then had an off-the-record conversation where Mr. Jobs told Mr. Nocera all about his health. Remember that private matter. And Mr. Nocera then told his readers the bit about it not being a life-threatening illness. So much for it being a private matter. But at least investors can, in theory, stop worrying.
Okay. Apple's rollout of MobileMe, or Mobile Mess, as David Pogue of the New York Times called it, has not been the smoothest rollout in the company's history. As of July 29th, some 1% have only limited email access, and for those users, we are sad to report that this is actually an improvement. According to Apple, a MobileMe email server began experiencing quote-unquote serious issues on July 18th, and as of July 29th, the company is still working on the problem. MobileMe subscribers aren't the only people complaining about the service. After a week of intense testing, the Wall Street Journal's Walt Mossberg reported that he can't recommend MobileMe in its current state. According to his experience, it has too many flaws to keep its promises and is plagued with systemic issues.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Oh. The first iPhone 3G, you know, I wonder if he's if his membership to the Steve Jobs fan club is going to be rescinded after that.
I think there's a strong likelihood. He might even get a call from Steve, just like Mr. Nocera did.
I wonder if it'll start off the same way.
It probably.
I doubt it. The first iPhone 3G launch is only 2 weeks old, and Apple is already prepping for its second major rollout on August 22nd, even in the midst of product shortages. The second phase will include about 20 new countries for the iPhone, bringing the total number of countries the device is available to more than 40. Apple has not yet said which countries will be included in this second launch. Demand for the iPhone 3G has been high since its launch, and in many locations, inventory is still limited, at best. Despite the current iPhone inventory crunch, Apple CFO Tim Cook, I thought he was COO. He's COO.
He is. He's COO.
Yeah. Sorry, folks. Apple COO Tim Cook thinks production. It's well known that Tim Cook is COO, not the CFO, as that is Peter Oppenheimer.
Do you push up your glasses with one finger when you talk like that?
Yes. Apple COO Tim Cook thinks production is on track to meet demand even with the impending August rollout. Assuming Mr. Cook is right, customers in new and current iPhone 3G markets will likely have an easier time getting their hands on Apple's smartphone in the coming weeks. And that sound means that it's time for the Context Machine. That's where Jeff and I delve a little more deeply, or a lot more deeply, into the news to provide context for what's going on.
Geez, you know, with the news we've had over this past week, I'm kind of afraid we might not be able to fill up the Context Machine. I don't know if either of us have any opinions.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, folks.
All right. Roll the dice. We're out of here.
Let's talk about the earnings.
I think that sounds like a really good place to start. So how about that? Second best quarter in company history, and people are freaking out.
Yeah, and a record June quarter.
Yes.
And a second best quarter of any of the quarters.
In a weak market, and a market where other computer companies are having difficulty selling product.
And in the June quarter where Apple is traditionally it's one of Apple's slowest.
Right.
Yeah. So in the midst of all that, they turn in huge numbers. Should be a big deal, right?
You know, you would think.
And it was. So, you know, the big question on a lot of people's minds is, why did Apple stock take a pounding? How did they turn in a record quarter, record June quarter at least, second best quarter ever, record Mac sales, increased iPod sales, even with the iPhone out there? They turn all this in, and the stock gets hammered.
Yeah, clearly, sniffing glue is bad, okay? Stop it, people.
All right, well, we actually have an answer for you on that. And it's by no means a simple issue, and this will by no means be a simple issue, or a simple answer. And if I leave anything out, you know, you financial wonks are welcome to correct me as you see fit. But here's the deal. Apple stock did not take a pounding because of the current results. Apple stock did not even take a pounding because of a run-up ahead of time that, you know, then everybody started taking profits on. The reason why the stock took a hit was because of the guidance for the September quarter. The guidance was below what was expected, and here's the key. Value in any given stock, especially Apple stock, is always looking forward. So the stock market, whether or not they were expecting a specific record quarter for the June quarter, they had already run the stock up in general based on what was going to be a very good quarter. So by the time that news actually comes out, every time this happens, by the time the news comes out of what the quarter is, Wall Street has largely already reacted to that news well ahead of it actually being announced.
That's a pretty good trick.
It is. And it's, like I said, it's not a simple issue. And what they're looking for, the reason why Apple's stock so often, actually, and as of late, it hasn't even been as... It used to be that there'd be a run-up ahead of time, and then the stock would always get hit. Now, that actually has not been the case for the last several quarters, at least not as I remember it, and I didn't specifically research that before we started doing this. But Apple hasn't generally been taking as much of a hit. Now, but the problem this time is that while Apple's guidance is always conservative, right? Their modus operandi for offering guidance is, you know, tell them something that we can beat.
Right. Yeah, they're always conservative, and then Wall Street is always overshooting.
Yeah, they're always Wall Street's optimistic, Apple is conservative. Somewhere in between the two, you know, reality meets. And but what happened this time is that the guidance that Apple gave was below what Wall Street was expecting. And it was, that's why the stock took a hit. Now, I know in the Apple Finance Board, our stock-based forum at the Mac Observer, there's a lot of talk about all the manipulation that's going on with Apple, with a lot of the hedge funds and other very serious players with serious money looking to manipulate the stock up and down so that they can make money on the changes. That happens.
Right.
That actually that does happen, but that's what the market is, rightly or wrongly. Right, so that's not some major massive conspiracy. That's just basically folks with a lot more money than me and you trying to make even more money.
And okay, so what you're saying is this is a big game for people with lots of money.
Well, it is a big game, but it's not a game that's necessarily a crooked one. I think that the market's overreacted a little bit to the guidance, but in general, I think that there's no conspiracy as to why the stock took a big hit. The stock took a big hit because of the forward guidance. The record quarter had already been figured into the price of the stock before it was announced. This is just a reality. And by the way, I am a tiny shareholder. I need to make sure that that's clear. I have a very, very small stake that the hedgies wouldn't even bother to laugh at. But you know, for the sake of full disclosure, I definitely have to explain that. The other thing, though, is that if you look at the fact that Apple's stock is well off its high, yet the company is doing better than ever, what's the deal there, right?
That's a really good question.
Thank you, Jeff.
And I bet you have an answer for me, don't you, Brian?
I do. And as a straight man, Jeff Gamet. the deal there is that the stock coming into that earnings announcement, I think the stock was right about 170, and the high is right around 200. So, you know, it's well off its high, yet they're still turning in this record quarter. What's the deal? Well, the deal there is that you can't look at Apple without looking at the broader stock market and the broader economy. When Apple stock was trading at 200, we were in the midst of a bull market in general. Everything was being run up, you know, there was kind of bubble-ish and all that kind of stuff. It was before the credit crunch. It was before the mortgage crisis. Anyway, the point is that you can't look at it without looking at the broader context. And the broader context right now is that the economy is in the tank. There are all sorts of issues that are bringing the stock market down in general. So, yeah, Apple's stock is below what it was at its height, even after turning in a record quarter. But you also have to look at the fact that Apple's stock has not fallen as much as the rest of the markets have.
You know, I think one problem a lot of people have had is that they forget that Apple's stock is not isolated from the rest of the market. So the things that affect the market in general, of course, they're going to affect Apple as well.
Right, but Apple has been doing so well that it has outperformed the market.
Right, but even still, it's not outperforming the market to the point that it can still hang around 200
right now,
when
apparently
the rest of the market has dropped so much.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so anyway, that's still the deal there. So but it was a great quarter, and I personally expect Apple to beat its guidance. That's what they do.
But yeah, they have that really strong track record of guiding low and then beating their own guidance.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's another thing in there that I wanted to talk about, which was the everyone freaking out about this whole lower gross margin issue for the September quarter.
Oh, right.
Catch us up as to what's being catch us up on the situation.
All right. So for everyone playing at home that isn't up to speed on what's going on, Apple said that, you know, they're going to have lower margins in the next quarter, and actually I think they said for the next couple quarters that they're going to be showing a lower revenue because of that, and so people. Yeah, people started freaking out about that, and Apple said that, you know, they actually laid out the reasons why, and it all makes sense, and it includes this mystery product transition, which translates to new product or product update.
Yeah,
Right. And then, of course, when you have a product update, then you have a situation where your margins on whatever that product are going to be lower initially, because that's just how the game works. So whatever Apple is doing, you know, with the, there's that the one company that they had the, what is it, the 70 points thing, and then now this product transition that's going to happen. And when you combine everything together, it's going to lower the revenue for the quarter, but it's a setup for what's to come. There, right. How was that for a nice wrap up?
That's a fairly good wrap up. To add a little bit more color, after Apple said that margins were going to be lower for the September quarter, the analysts began pressing for why. Why are gross margins going to be so far below last year? You know, it's I think three point three percentage points lower than it was a year ago, right? Right. And that's the way this game is played. Apple says as little as it can. Analysts try to find out as much as they can. Apple reveals a little bit more information. It's all a big stupid song and dance dealing with
it is. It's SEC a very well choreographed dance too.
It is. It's very it's very interesting. You know, the commentary that we have running amongst ourselves when we're covering the earnings for conference. I think I called one guy. I went back over the transcript, and according to the transcript that we had, it was Gene Munster.
I don't think Gene Steinberg was in on the call.
No, I don't think he was either. Gene Munster was asking why Apple uses the subscription accounting, and I didn't catch that it was him when he asked it, and I haven't gone back to listen to it again, but I remember when that came through, I typed to Jeff, noob.
Right, and of course, I was already laughing before noob even came through, because I was thinking, how can you be in this game and not know how Apple accounts for the iPhone and why?
Right.
I mean, they've been very upfront with that since day one.
Right, and I should go back and listen to it and make sure it was Gene Munster and that wasn't a mistake on the transcript. But be that as it may, another analyst began asking Apple if this whole lower margins thing was because Apple was going to basically start trying to compete on price. And since then, other analysts have been talking about the same sort of nonsense.
Yeah, which is... I'm going to agree with you. It's absolute nonsense.
And the, you know, the reason why it's nonsense is the idea, like some people, you know, just like it's
look
hard
at you.
To,
you're getting all worked up.
I'm verklempt. It's hard. It's not hard to remember, but it's easy to forget that it wasn't that long ago that everybody and the brother said that Apple had to license the macOS. They had to stop making computers. They basically, you know, that the only successful business model for an operating systems vendor is Microsoft's model, right?
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. And it's amazing how much the world has come around to that. For instance, it's amazing how many more analysts are in the conference calls these days. You know, all sorts of new people. And a lot of them still don't understand Apple, despite all the success that Apple has. And what I'm specifically all tense about is the idea that Apple could report record Mac sales, record 2.496 million Macs, more Macs than they've ever shipped ever in the history of the company, sold at a price where they can make a profit, unlike every other bloody company out there. You know, Dell basically, I guess we talked about it, HP is now making a profit on their computers. Right, Dell's making a profit on their computers, a tiny, slim one. No one else is. Everyone else loses money on computers, and Apple makes these huge profits on computers, profits that go to support all the R&D that makes macOS 10 rock.
Right,
that go to support the development of products like iPhone and iPod before they were released, Apple TV, iTunes, the App Store. Apple can do all these things. You know, go back to FireWire. Go back to all the stuff that Apple does. It's all been made possible by the fact that Apple has never tried. Well, since Steve Jobs came back, Apple has not tried to compete on price. They compete on, right. You know, they redefined the market. They changed the rules by which they competed. Overnight changed the rules by which they competed and started competing on price, on style, lifestyle, user experience, industrial design.
All right, so let me see if I've got this straight. Apple has developed a business model where they sell what's perceived as a quality product with a price point that generates good margins for the company. And it's working so well that even in a market where almost every other computer company is failing to make money with their computer product, they're just suddenly going to throw that away now.
Yeah,
that's what people are saying.
Yeah. Yeah. People are saying that this transition that Apple is talking about is about lowering prices in order to compete in a slow economy.
Well, okay. I am so glad those people are not running Apple.
Yeah. I'm so glad they're not in charge of any of my investment money too, because I mean it's completely ridiculous. I'm going to write a column about this because it's got me that annoyed.
Good. Now I've got it on tape, digital tape, that you have committed to writing the column. I can't wait to read it.
I'll see you in court.
Crap.
It's just completely ridiculous. So what is behind this lower margin issue and this product transition issue? And they spelled this out in the conference call. They said that when they update a product, they initially have lower margins, higher costs, and that through the life of the product, those margins increase. That's what they said.
You know, and that's not something new. They have said that in every conference call where they have a new product rollout. Every time Mac OS X gets an update, you know, 10.2, 10.3, 10.4, 10.5, whatever, they always say, well, this is the quarter that the new version of Mac OS X was released, and we're having phenomenal success with it because it's the first quarter it's out. Our margins will be substantially lower, and they will improve over time. I mean, they come right out and say it.
For software, it's the opposite.
All right, so
a brand new release of OS X increases gross margins because gross margins on software are like 90%.
Okay, see, that's how worked up I am. I'm substituting software for hardware in my arguments.
That's quite right. I've got your back.
I appreciate that.
Of course. This definitely isn't anything new. What is new is that they. This is going to be a big enough deal that they're talking about it before it's happening. I mean, think about it. It's Apple. Apple said we're going to have a new product or products come out in the September quarter. We're not telling you what they are. I can't remember the last time they did something like that in a conference call.
I don't know of a conference call where they've done that either.
No. And the reason why they had to do it is because it is going to put this hit on gross margins. But what Jeff and I think, and of course we talked about this before we started recording, is that this is going to be because they're going to be incorporating some kind of new technology or technologies in one or more product line that has higher costs associated with it, but they're not necessarily going to increase the price point of the products at the end user level. That's what's going on. Right. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that we're going to see, and it totally makes sense, just with the timing and everything else. I'm expecting that we're going to see some type of updated laptop.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know. I'm thinking that we're going to see, I think we'll actually see Blu-ray players across the product line.
That would be cool.
And those definitely have a higher cost associated with them.
Yeah, they do.
And we may getting, like, they could be adding a new hard drive technology. They could be changing something in the displays. I think that actually is a big candidate for higher costs, some kind of new display technology.
That would be great. I would love to see that. And we know that there's companies out there that are coming up with real exciting new display technologies. HP is a perfect example. They just recently released a display that just blew me away, where it's doing LED backlighting, and then it's running each pixel with its own individual RGB lights, and it's crazy what they're doing. And now that technology is out there, there's no reason why Apple couldn't do something that's similar, and it costs more to do that.
It does, and remember, the only products that they're using LED backlighting are the MacBook Pros.
MacBook Pro and MacBook Air, I believe.
Yeah, MacBook Air, I think. Yeah, I think that's right. I forgot about that. But they're not doing it in the Cinema Display line. They're not doing it in the iMac line, at least not yet. I don't even think they're doing it in the MacBook line.
I don't believe it's in the MacBook line yet. And yeah, in the Cinema Display, I was trying to figure out earlier just how long it's been since Apple has done any type of update to the Cinema Display.
I have been waiting for an LED Cinema Display for a year and a half, and that was when the damn product line was 9 months old.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird to me.
So, yeah, who knows? Maybe we will see new display technology out of all of this.
Yeah, and there could be something else that they're gonna bring it in. They also stressed, and I forget the exact wording, maybe you'll remember it, but something about the fact that what they're doing is going to leave the competition unable to compete.
Yeah, that's a really good paraphrase.
Yeah, and so clearly they're doing something better, and clearly that's going to, you know, they're not in a position. So while Apple is not going to be suddenly trying to make their computers cost nothing like a Dell, at the same time, the state of the economy means that they can't jack up prices.
Right. So they'll take a hit on the margins, leave the prices the same, and release a superior product.
Right. Right. And that's what's going to happen. That's all there is to it. The analysts are pretty much wrong on this. Most of the analysts, some of them have got it right, but the rest of them are just, they're wrong, and they're not able to look at the big picture.
You know, I'm not a stock player at all. Matter of fact, I own zero stocks, so I have no vested interest in seeing one company perform better than another to pad my pocketbook. But okay, so from my standpoint, being kind of off to the side a little bit from the whole stock market game, I'm getting what's going on here. And if I can pick up on this, why can't the analysts?
You would think, well, you know, these are the same analysts that missed the boat on Apple for years. Some of them are the same analysts. You know, just the whole, you know, Apple has to license out their OS. Apple has to move to unprotected Intel hardware, and you know, just on and on and on. The analysts have been getting it wrong about Apple. Yeah, that's been a game that's been going on since probably Jimmy Carter was president.
Wow. Okay, do you remember when Jimmy Carter was president?
Yes.
Okay, so do I.
I remember when Nixon was president. I don't remember when LBJ was president. Although I do remember LBJ being buried, the funeral for him.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't even know. I couldn't tell you what year it is, but I have a vague recollection. I also remember, by the way, the it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are?
Yes. Ah, the good old days when life was simpler and we were involved in wars and oh, wait.
Right. Okay. On that note, that's the context machine. Let's move on to Ask Jeff. I'm really excited about this.
So am I. I can't wait to see how this works out.
Oh, let's leave room for a musical interlude.
Cool.
And that sound means it's time to Ask Jeff. So this is what we've got in mind with this. This was my brainstorm, and I foisted it off on Jeff because he's got such a fantastic technical background, and you know, is a great Mac tech, to be honest. So the idea is that if you've got a question, you ask Jeff. So you know, this is kind of like
it's a pretty simple concept.
It is. Dave Hamilton did a column for us, one of our most successful columns that we've ever done, but he eventually stopped having time to do it, and it was really kind of sad. And I've been asking Jeff to pick up the slack on that for years now, But you know, basically, people would say, "I've got this problem. How do I fix this? Or, you know, this is happening to me. How do I fix it?" And this is what you get to do now. And we're going to answer your questions here on the air with Ask Jeff.
You know, and the great thing is that this makes a wonderful compromise, because my writing schedule has always been so packed that fitting in an extra column just it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
So we'll do it this way.
Yeah, we'll do it this way. And if you want to ask Brian, you're going to have to ask my opinion about something. Because if you ask me a technical question, I'm going to forward it to Ask Jeff.
But, you know, if it turns out to be a very highly technical Mac audio-related question, I'll probably reread it back to you.
Fair enough. Yeah, if it's a Logic question or a Pro Tools question or a GarageBand problem, I'm probably going to have your back on that.
Cool.
All right, so what are we kicking it off with? What's the first question?
All right, so the first question, I actually pulled this out from questions that have been coming in that have morphed into quick tips, you know, our Monday, Wednesday, Friday series. And I got a question which I thought was great. One of our readers couldn't figure out how to delete applications that they had downloaded from the App Store. And what was happening was, yeah, they would delete the application, or so they thought. Then the next time that they would sync their iPhone with their Mac, the applications were back. And so the problem was they were just actually missing a couple steps along the way.
So, right. Well, so then here's the question. How do I delete apps off of my iPhone?
Well, Brian, that's a really great question. Let me tell you how. What I recommend you do, instead of deleting the application from your iPhone, and this also applies to your iPod Touch, delete it from iTunes. And so there's a couple ways that you can do this. There's actually one way, but there's an alternative step along the way. All right, so what you do is click on the little applications icon in your library list, and then you're going to see all the applications that you've downloaded for your iPhone. Select the one you want, and then you can Control-click or right-click and choose Delete. Alternately, if you've selected the application, you can just tap the Delete key. So either way, you end up deleting it that way. Then what happens is iTunes is going to bring up a dialog that says, do you really want to remove this application? Go ahead and click Remove. It's going to give you another dialog. There's several dialogues in this, but it's easy.
So okay? Windows-like.
Yeah. So, all right. So next dialogue that comes up says, all right, so now you've decided you want to delete this application. Do you want to keep the file on your hard drive or move it to the trash? And the difference being, if you move it to the trash, it's gone off your hard drive. But if you keep it and down the road at some point you decide, oh, crap, I really want to add that back in to iTunes, you can.
And that's probably an important distinction for an app that you've paid for.
Yes. I mean, if it's a free app, just get rid of it because you can download it again for free. Yeah. If it's an app you've paid for, you might want to hold on to it for just in case.
Yeah, you never know if an update's going to address that thing that was bothering you to begin with.
Right. So now here's the big step, and here's the one that's going to catch people up, but it's easy to get through. All right, so what you do then is take your iPhone and connect it to your computer so that you can initiate a sync. You're going to get a dialog that tells you that there are some items on your iPhone that are not in your iTunes library. Do you want to transfer them back? And you say, don't transfer. The default option is transfer, which I guess makes sense because if you've accidentally deleted something, this is a fail-safe step where you can get it back easily. But if you click don't transfer, then it will remove the application from your iPhone and it will not add it back to iTunes.
Right.
Well, that's the key step right there.
And speaking of which, by the way, I see there's an update to Phone Saver.
Oh, there is.
At least it's showing as one for me. You know what, though? I think it's because I haven't synced my iPhone. Anyway, be that as it may, that is a great question. And if you've got a question, you should ask Jeff. How do they do that, Jeff?
Well, I'm thinking that they should probably send me an email.
To?
Send that to jeffg@macobserver.com.
Nope. Nope. AWR.
Oh, crap. All right.
Send that to AWR.
@macobserver.com.
Good luck in spelling all those bangs and ricochets.
Yeah. And apparently I need to learn what our email addresses are. How about that?
Apparently. If you want, you can put Ask Jeff in the subject line.
Yes, please do, because that will make it easier for us to track down the questions in all of the emails we get from our listeners.
And if we end up getting the volume of email that Dave got for his Ask Dave column, we'll have to just come up with this. It'll be like Ask Jeff AWR.
Right.
But sorry, I'm not going to confuse anybody. Anyway, the point is, that's what you do. AWR, MacObserver.com, Ask Jeff in the subject line, and he'll get your question answered on the air.
You know, and I'm only managing editor. You'd think at some point I'd learn what our email addresses are.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Take us out.
Okay. So on that note, if you have anything to comment on, add, or question, remember, send us your questions. Send your audio or text comments to awr@macobserver.com. And remember, succinctness is next to steveliness.
I love that line.
Do you know how many times I had to practice that to be able to say succinctness is next to steveliness?
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do.
All right. And you know, I don't know what else we can do, so I'll just continue on. And that's this week's Apple Weekly Report. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. Thanks, CashFly. And the bass is by Boom, recorded for TMO. That's all for this week.
And as always, stay subscribed. And just so you know, we really have not been drinking today.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com, or maybe in a gaming session at your house.
Sweet.
I hit. Let me roll the appropriate dice to see how much damage I did.